Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? Here it is, y'all. I'm here. That's right. It's Friday, the end of the week for some of us, and for the others, well, I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all got one more day. But anyway, welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And man, I'm telling you, we got a show for you today. Y'all know what day it is. It's Friday, which means it's Freedom Friday. Whatever we want to talk about, however long we want to talk about it, it's up to you. You know what I'm saying? Daboo One, I see you in the chat room, man. Welcome to the show. Yeah, boy. I'm telling you, how y'all doing out there, man? I'm telling you, it's a nice day here in Central Texas. Hope y'all have a good one, too. So, y'all, I'm telling you, you know, we got some things going on today. I'm telling you. So I hope y'all ready. So go on and get that cup of Joe, that afternoon cocktail, that glass of water, whatever you want to sip on. Because, you know, we're going to be ready for the show today. That's all I'm going to tell you. That's all I'm telling you. But anyway, this is Let's Talk. Now, if you want to get in on the conversation today, no problem. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622. You can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. You know, if you just don't want to call in, just send me email. Or you can just call 347-838-8622 and just listen to the show on your phone or mobile devices or whatever you're using. You know, there's so much stuff out there, I can't name them all. Also, man, I forgot what I was going to say. Now, ain't that something? It's amazing how the mind works. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. But anyway, those are the two main ways. Or you can stop by the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com, and leave me a message there, and then we'll see if we can get that on the air also. So that's it, y'all. And you know what we do on Friday. We just turn it up and let it go. All right. So, y'all, are y'all ready for this? Are y'all ready for this? I got a co-host in the house with me today. The man I tell y'all who's going to be doing a show on Thursday nights with me, for tentatively anyway right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're going to be doing this show, and we'll get with him in a minute. He's in the studio with me, so we're going to bring him on in a few. Mm-hmm. Mr. Lowe, I see you on the switchboard, boy. I got a good opening topic for you today. I know you lighting it a bit. Antoinette, welcome to the show, darling. I hope you're feeling pretty good today. All right, anyway, as we always do, man, you know, we got to get the house rules going and all this other great stuff. So, house rules, simple. As we always say, this is an adult show. Adult things are said. So, if you are a bit sensitive and you call in and you throwing left and rights, Mr. Talk can't give you a standing eight count, y'all. You just got to take your punishment. It's just that simple. But we encourage everybody to call in, give us your opinion, your thoughts on what's going on, because that's what this show is all about. If you do call in, make sure you keep your responses short and to the point as possible. You know, we don't need no 15, 20 minute dissertations. You know, you bore people like that. Let's be honest with you. Let's keep it like that. Also, no personal attacks. Y'all know this. Y'all know how I feel about personally attacking anyone. And if you call in and you want to argue with somebody, hey, I got the green room waiting on you. And y'all can argue all you want to till you run out of breath or whatever happens. You know, of course, and I got the shotgun and the taser ready for you. So y'all know how it goes. And, of course, the big boo-boo No N-word. No N-word. We're adults. We should be able to conversate without using such derogatory terms. All right? So those are the house rules. Okay, we got it right now. Those are the house rules for the day. All right. So, y'all, I got a story about some rabbis. I do. But we ain't going to get to that yet. Let's get with the quote of the day. The quote of the day, man, I'm telling you. This is a good one. It's actually simple and to the point. You know, it's not that profound, but yet it is. And the quote of the day is this: you can't change stupid. Let's just go. That is the quote of the day. You can't change stupid. Yeah, and you know, sometimes people just, you can't help themselves. You really can't. And that's part of what's going on up there in Washington, D.C. right now. You just can't change stupid, man. You know, they going through all this great stuff, and who's suffering? We are. You can't change stupid, man, so we need to get up with that, all right? I'm just saying. All right, now, anyway, we have the song of the day. I told y'all, man, I'm not expounding on that quote of the day. It's too simple. You can't change stupid. So I know, I know somebody's talking to us right about now. But it's all good. We got you. All right, song of the day is simple. I had the emotions planned for the day, but, well, I do apologize. You know, I forgot to load it up in the queue. So we're going to go back to a song we played earlier in the week. And, man, when we hear this song, man, I want y'all to check out the bass line, you know, and the chorus that's being done because, man, that junk is the bomb. So that's why we're going to replay it again. And that's right. I can do that because why? It's my show. All right? So, you know, so it's all good, man. So y'all know who coming up. Y'all, I don't need to say it anymore. You know, it's one of those things. We just going to have a good time. It's Friday. Take y'all into the weekend just feeling good, feeling real, real good. All right? Without further ado, man, here it is, the song of the day.
I am third load, D-boy of fun. I can't swim. I never could swim. I never will swim.
Ah!
All right, y'all. All right. There it is, y'all. That was Paula Ben and Aqua Boogie. Hey, Beasley, I know you like that when you wasn't in my chat room starting stuff. But yeah, man, that's I'm telling you, that was the old school jam party right there. Yeah, I know. Now, y'all, I'm going to bring in my co-host, and this man has a lot of knowledge. And, hey, we're going to have some fun today. As I say, we're going to be doing a show with him. We trying to work it out, relationships one-on-one, so I'm sure y'all going to be ready for that. I know y'all love relationship stories. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I want to bring in Minister. Y'all heard what I said? Minister Willie Signal. What's going on, sir?
Hello. How you doing? I appreciate the chance to be here. How's everybody doing out there?
I'm sure they're doing right. I'm surprised they ain't started lighting up the lines yet. I've said that key word, minister. But I'm sure they're coming.
That's a bad word, huh?
Nah, it's not a bad word. No, not yet anyway.
All right, y'all.
Y'all know what the time is. Mm-hmm. Once again, if you want to get on the show today, just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Join me in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All one word. Or you just go to the Blog Talk Radio site and look for the live show, Let's Talk with Mr. Talk, and I'll be there. Oh, Lord. Antoinette said, well, thank you, Pastor, and yourself. So
that's all right. See, I'm doing well, Miss Antoinette, doing well.
All right. All right, y'all. We ready to get busy. All right. The phone lines are open, and the first story I want to talk about is, all right, who got their hand up already?
Uh-oh.
I see y'all didn't even give me a chance to get started with my story. What's really going on? All right, let me bring you on in here, and let's see who we have. All right, 111, welcome to the show. And who do
you know,
I have here?
You know, I just want to be in first position when the story comes out. I'm just getting ready, that's all. I can't comment before you start on something. I just wanted to be there when it goes off so I can get my word in first before it turns into a free-for-all. Did you read the rules again?
You know what the rules are.
I know what the rules are, but we all break them.
I allow y'all to break them to a certain extent until y'all get a little
crazy. And that's why we like coming here. At least that's why we like coming here. So it's all good. Let's hear what it's about.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me bring the other two in. Let me bring Mr. Lowe in. Mr. Lowe, what's going on, man?
Yeah, you know I wanted to be second, so why not?
Oh, you trying to make fun. How you doing today, Lo?
Well, sad, brother.
All
doing,
right,
bro?
We all good. We cool. Lo's a big man. He apologized after I needed to apologize to him. We're all right.
No. Yeah. You all right now? All right.
I don't know about 45 minutes from now, but we good right now.
Right now we good. We'll be good 45 minutes after that. It's not a problem.
They always good at
speaking. All right,
let me bring another call in real fast. All right, 111, you on the air. What's up?
All right. I just wanted to be second, right after Beasley. But then, I guess I might be third now. Okay.
Well, good afternoon to you too, Joe. How you doing?
All right, how's everybody? Well,
okay, so I got the main three in already. Oh, so okay, that's
Mr.
a good
Wesley
thing
over there. Wait a minute,
yo, Wesley being in a minute. I see Cuz on the line listening too. What's up, Cuz?
Oh,
I don't know what
you
doing. You're probably working. Yeah, but he's listening. All right, y'all. So y'all ready for this first story? And I know y'all gonna love it. That's why I chose it. Then I'm gonna let y'all run from there. Rabbis kidnapping husbands to force divorce. Okay, a group of rabbis faced kidnapping charges after allegedly arranging assaults of Orthodox Jewish husbands to persuade them to grant divorce to their wives. Y'all ready? All right. And here's what it is. In the Orthodox Jewish would get a get is more important than any sort of document drawn up in civil courts. The derision of the law is found in Deuteronomy 24:1-2. Now, I'm telling you, man, I read it. I'm going to read it for y'all, and y'all tell me what y'all think about it. You know, first, let's talk about what a get is. In the Jewish community, a get is the Hebrew word for divorce document. And since the Jewish marriage is entered into by the assurance of legal contract between husband and wife, it can be terminated only by the by giving of a legal writ notifying the original contract. A get may not be issued unless a civil divorce is first obtained, just as a Jewish marriage ceremony may not be conducted without first filing, fulfilling all civil requirements. Reformed Jews believe that a civil divorce is sufficient for remarriage. According to Jewish law, a marriage does not dissolve until a bill of divorce, get, is exchanged between husband and wife. Most non-Reformed American rabbis and all rabbis in Israel will not officiate at a wedding if either party has not been divorced without a get. Has been divorced without a get. All right? So here it is. Deuteronomy 24:1-2. When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find not favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. 2 says, and when she is departed out of the house, she may go and be another man's wife. So, you know, these husbands were not giving these wives divorces, so these rabbis decided to hire some thugs to beat them up and force them to give these wives a divorce. You know, if we talk about rabbis now, man. You know, that's a whole different issue. We talk about pastors and preachers, but now we talk about rabbis, man. They're hiring people to jump on folk. What y'all think about that?
Lord have mercy.
Since I'm first, let me comment. I don't know if any of you guys watch The Sopranos.
Go ahead.
Did watch The Sopranos? Did any of you watch The Sopranos? The TV show that was on HBO?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have seen
it. Okay, well, if one of The Sopranos episodes dealt with this, whereas the Orthodox Jew rabbi, or he was, I don't know if they were rabbis, but they were Orthodox Jews, and they were trying to get a way to create a divorce, but the son-in-law had worked for like 15 or 20 years at a business that he owned, that he owned with his father-in-law, and he wasn't leaving the marriage without, you know, some compensation, or the get. He wasn't leaving without some money for all the work that he's put in. And what that episode was about is that they hired the mob. They hired gangsters. You know, they hired Tony Soprano and Paulie Walnuts and the rest of the crew. And they were beating the you know what out of this dude, and he wasn't giving.
And he wasn't budging. Yeah,
right. He wasn't budging. And one of their, one of Tony Soprano's friends was, the Jewish guy Hesh.
Right.
And Hesh was saying, he said, "Listen, I'm going to warn you, Tony. You know, you haven't dealt with a stubborn people until you've dealt with these. These people are something else. And I warn you, it's not going to go easy." But so hearing about that, I don't know. I guess this is. This is life imitating art, or if it's art imitating life, but it's interesting that they did a show on The Sopranos on this some years ago. And that's all I have
to
say.
Finish it up, Beasley. Tell them how they convinced the guy to
get the
guest.
As a matter of fact, I think I remember
that. Oh, wow. The way they ended up convincing him, they had to take it to the extreme. They beat him up a couple of times, and he wouldn't. He'd say, no. And they beat him. They couldn't believe that he wasn't taking to the pressure. They were threatened to cut off his thing.
Uh-huh.
That's how they had to go. They're like, okay, they're going to cut off the thing, and then he relented. That's how far it had to go. So,
and he decided to sign at that point, I'm assuming.
At that point, he decided that he wanted to.
You know, is this a sign of underlying things that we just don't know about? You know, that just make you just go wild. I didn't
yeah,
realize
it's a,
that
a,
went
a
on.
Different culture.
I mean,
goodness.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in culture that people don't know about. It just doesn't make the news, but there's a lot of crime and a lot of vice and a lot of, going against the Quran and the Bible and the Talmud that goes on in the Jewish community. Are you kidding me? Those freaking rabbis, you better watch out for them.
You know, you don't hear about the rabbis that often in the news, though, but when you do, man, they up to something.
They're serious, right?
Yeah. You know? Okay, Minister Signal, what you think about that?
To me, it's a shame. It's like another example of people using the Bible to bring about their own personal goals, their own personal drive. And it doesn't just happen in the Jewish community. It looks like it takes place in the Christian community, in the church, even in Islam, all different religions. It's almost like they try to twist what the word says for personal gain and goals. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, totally. Especially we're going to beat you up.
That's right, saying, take it to that level, right? Now, I'm more than sure that's not what the Lord had in mind.
Yeah. All right, Lo, I know I see that little turbo turning in your head there. You got something open and we're trying to read it. So go on. Give me what you got to say because you're quiet on this one.
I wanted everybody to get everything out first.
I know you did.
All right. Well,
go for it.
Okay. Well, as the scriptures say, Revelation 2:9-3:9, the synagogue of Satan, how can they first acknowledge that they believe Christ is a bastard and they believe in the Talmud, which is a book of sorcery, and the Kabbalah, and they don't believe in the Torah, but how can they use the Torah to now come and say, well, hey, we're going to use this this passage right here to justify what's going on? It doesn't add up. It's confusion. And, you know, the Most High is not the author of confusion. Satan is.
That's it, exactly.
There's your synagogue of Satan.
That's it. And I think to agree, just to tag on what you're saying, it looks like what a lot of people will do, they'll take just certain passages because they know there are a lot of people that do have respect for the book. As most of the people who haven't done their research, all you have to do is say the Bible says. And a lot of times they'll follow because they don't do their own research or they don't begin to look. And if somebody is wearing the title of rabbi and they say it's okay for me to do this because it's in the book, a lot of people will take it as acceptable behavior because they don't do what the word says, which is to study the word. Study to show yourself approved. That means you're actually digging in and studying it for yourself, not just taking somebody's word for it.
Absolutely.
Boy, see, that's what I'm talking about right there. Man, I'll tell you. Absolutely. You heard that key word, right? Do your research.
That's it.
Ain't that what we say all the time? That's right.
That's
what I'm saying. All facts. I see in the chat room. Yeah.
The only way you'll find out anything is research. Research.
Of course.
That's it.
Don't just, like my daddy's old country boy, don't just let somebody walk you around with that ring, by the ring in your nose, you know. Don't let nobody lead you around. And whatever, wherever they go, that's where you're going to go. You got to know what you're talking about.
That's right, and to me, that's the true test of a real pastor or a real minister. The first thing they should be doing is pointing you to God, telling you, hey, guess what? I'm telling you this, but I'm only saying it because it's what the Word says. What I'm saying is based on the Word, so, and you should be able to open it and see exactly what they're saying for yourself, which is true. That's true.
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as those rabbis go and the illegal means that they went by to go and get something done, it only shows that, hey, there's a lot more underlying things that people don't know about.
That's true.
Jewish people commit crimes all the time that never make it to the news. It may make it local, but it's not going to be on a mass scale.
These guys made it to the mass scale.
Of course, because
they're facing life in prison.
It was that extreme. There was a Jewish man that took a young boy and chopped him up and had him in his refrigerator and was eating on him, and he got caught because people were like, the last time I saw that kid, so-and-so was with him, and so-and-so was around him or whatever, and so the police went to his house. They found all this information and evidence or whatever, but it never made the local circuit news, you know, and we don't own the news media, so, you know.
A lot of people take what they hear on the news as gospel, too. So it's not true. You got to remember, they are trying to sell airtime. So whatever's going to get the most viewers is what's going to make it out there.
That's it.
I agree with that. But I remember when the TV used to cut off at night, you know, in the news. You had somebody you could kind of trust, and he sounded honorable. But, you know, now it's just, hey, what can we do to bring more ratings, you know?
That's it. That's so true. So true.
That's all it's about now, ratings, right?
That's it.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So I just wanted to put that out there, man. I really did. But check this out, man. You know, we got to touch on this real fast, this government thing. Now, how they talking about dang on raising the debt ceiling but not reopening the government? So they're going to pay the government's bills and leave us out there just struggling to get ours done. What the heck is going on up there, y'all? Don't y'all think that's kind of crazy?
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
My question is this now. You're a man learned in the word. And every time, and I said this on the show before, Every time you see anything about an empire, it's referred to as a beast, right or wrong?
It has
government is referred to as a beast.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
It has everywhere you look,
the word, that's the case.
Absolutely. So these people are not here to push our agenda. They're only here to push their own agenda. You know, to heck with everybody else. You know,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, as long as at the end of the day, when Senator so-and-so goes back into his district and says, hey, I need your votes again, and the people vote for him again, he's fine.
That's it.
But
and it becomes,
other than
I think
that,
a lot of people, a lot of them may start off with the right foot. They may start off with good ideals. I'll use the example, say, if you got elected. Right now, you seem like a man to me, just from what I'm hearing right now, who's opinionated, you got a solid opinion. You may go to Washington and say, I'm going to fix the place, like a lot of those senators do. Mm-hmm. But when they get there, they get caught up in the machine sometime. They feel like they're powerless, and it just becomes about self-survival. I'm going to make it myself. Forget everybody else. Forget the people who got me here. I'm going to do what it takes to keep me here and further my own goals and agenda.
Was there in the beginning, I don't think there was a such thing as a career politician.
What you trying to say, Joe? Is that all?
No. I mean, you know, he's the guy that loves to talk Constitution, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm asking, in the beginning.
When did I start talking Constitution, et cetera, et cetera?
You and Fiancé love to talk Constitution.
When was the last time? When was the first
time? Last time Fiancé was on.
Look,
no, he's making a good point. He's making a good point.
Either way.
It wasn't designed to be the way it is now.
Right. Either way. Okay, I mean, let's say I take my 1985 Buick and go up to Washington, D.C., and I'm going to be a good congressman for my district. And I get up there and I'm told, hey, well, you know, everything that you're saying sounds good on the face, but this is what's actually going to happen. If not, you won't be here. And so I can either take the right or left path and, you know, become a good senator or congressman or whatever and keep getting elected, even though I'm selling the people out. Or I can do one term, come back home, and I'll still get paid the rest of my life, but I'm not in the eye of the public anymore, you know. So was that something that was meant to be a career for people, or is it just, hey, I'm gonna go up and help out where I can, and I'm gonna go back into the private sector? That's my question.
That's something that definitely I would like to find an answer to myself. It looks like a lot of people really, that term limit thing, to me, needs to be enforced. When they get up there, they get set in their ways, they don't want to make no changes, they want to just push their own agenda, and they really, I call it homesteading. They set up shop, and that's it.
Absolutely.
They lose touch with all of their people, lose touch with their constituents, because they're only worried about self at that point.
Right. And if I bring you a suitcase full of money.
I think we should be able to say, hey, guess what, even as if these people, we put them in, that's it. That's it. Some people don't have that integrity to be able to say no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to say no to $10, $20. It's different when they put in a bag in front of you $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000.
Hold on,
right.
Y'all. Let me bring Michael in. You know, Michael got a view.
Well, I'm listening to
y'all. All right, Mike. What's going on, Mr. Allfact?
How you doing?
Why are you laughing? We're doing fine. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing wonderful, always wonderful. Nice topics you want to hear.
Well,
I
want to
kind of, try to kill two topics in one point. Well, first of all, Lo said in the back in the times that they had politicians back in the day. Well, the way I look at it is politics is other people deciding how others should live, themselves and others should live. That's a fact. Religion is also, if religion is also, he's...
I got to cut you off.
Who do you worship, Lo? Because whoever you worship, do you supposed to act like you're acting now, man, bro? You can't stand me. You don't even like to hear what I have. Won't you just listen to hear me? Politics is about how other people are looking and decide how other people should live, the voting system and all that. All types of government, even the monarchy, that's a government, decide how all people should live. Religion does the same thing. right? Now, when the brother says do our research, see, I was talking to dialoguing with someone, and someone has Bible study, and they say, listen, they say, because it goes on about his research, as he's saying, I have a question. They say someone reads the Bible and it says, this verse means this, people. And then when you question them for clarification, they say, well, I can't answer that question. I can't clarify myself because I don't understand. So you go do your research for yourself. And if that's the case, I should never have come to you in the first place. Now, right now, Google up, you got your internet, London. I'm just going by what the current events has proved. They say that they have factual information that Jesus Christ has never existed. Now, do I say I believe that? I say, no, I just say, take a look at Allen, and I say, where did they get their research? Someone's going to say what their research is contradictory. The problem is we have too many different curriculums about history. Now, someone's going to say the whole history story was wrong. Now we have a contradiction, and I say it's in total chaos and confusion right now today. So when you say go do my research, am I doing my research on theology or fact? Because if I keep on doing my research on what another man thinks, I'm always going to be at a dead end. That's all I want to say.
So that's why you don't even try to research things, because you're going to end up at a dead end?
No, I do research things. I have to do research things for my business, bro. I have to research for school and all that. I haven't researched for Blog Talk Radio, bro. Of course I research.
Okay, Mike, hold on. Let Minister Signal respond to what you just said, Michael.
All right, just one, two things. One, did we take it government? The original intent, that's why this country was founded. Why, and as a U.S. soldier, I'm just going to say this part. That's why our country was founded, one, to try to make sure that we didn't fall into the constitutional monarchy where they just said we had to do whatever one man believed. Now, that was the initial beliefs and the initial reasons for establishing a democracy, which is where it would be a representation of what the people wanted. That has been corrupted, which is why we are where we are right now. But that's one topic right there. So it's a shame. I don't want to say that guess what politics is. It's just a group of people trying to decide what everybody is. And initially, that wasn't what the plan was supposed to be. But again, it's been corrupted. And to go to the historicity of the Bible, you said, I just want to talk about two topics real fast, and I'm going to let you get right back in here. You said that the Bible is there are individuals who say that Jesus never existed. If you take apart from any religion or any study of theology and you begin to simply research different points and facts of the Bible, you begin to see that it's been proven to be true by historians. And I'm talking about Josephus, who was not a Christian.
Ooh, listen at this dude.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, Josephus was an individual who was just a Roman historian. And all he did was write down facts. And and when you begin to research, you begin to look at other historical documents, ancient Rome, ancient Greece, things that didn't have anything to do with theology or belief in God. What they do is prove a lot of the events that took place that were written down in the Bible were true. And that's apart from any belief in theology, God, Jesus, or anybody else. So the existence of Jesus is definitely not in question. The question that arises with a lot of people is whether or not they believe what he said.
None of us was there, but then we have different archaeologies that contradict each other, different curriculums, and we'll never know the truth, sir, factually. But hold up, when you go back,
contradictions. There's contradictions between Matthew, Mark, and John.
Exactly. There's contradiction when it comes to marriage, when it comes from Mark, Luke, and Matthew. You said every scholar who goes to school, this is one thing that they tell them in college. The Bible has many contradictions. Any person who went to school for theology or studied the Bible, any universities, they will tell you it has contradictions because that's a fact. So that's a lie.
I'm sick of hearing this. I'm sick of hearing it. You don't have to prove
so
it.
So you can go to any university that tell you if your teacher went to a university, he was taught that.
You don't have to go to a university.
You can do it for yourself. Exactly. You don't have to go. Right.
I'll be quiet. Wait.
Okay. Michael, hold on for a minute. Now, Michael, you say anybody who's been to theology school, right? Well, I have a minister sitting right here to my left that has been to theology school. So why don't we ask him?
Yeah, I just like to hear about a few of the contradictions that you're saying.
He don't have any because he don't believe in it.
Hello? Yes. Yeah. Well, hold on. Well, there's many contradictions. Like you asked, who was the Elijah in the Bible? Jesus says John the Baptist was Elijah. They asked John the Baptist, "Are you Elijah?" He says, "I'm not." That's a contradiction right there. There's a contradiction. Hold on. Listen to me. There's a contradiction. Listen, when you go to the book of Mark.
I don't want to let you keep going if you're going to say something that's wrong. I can't say that.
Well, that was a fact, though.
How?
Okay.
In the Bible, they ask two people questions. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, sir. Please, you didn't start off. I don't want to jump in on you. Go ahead.
Even when we was talking about homosexuality, you lied and said, "That's in nature. That's a fact. And I came around and told you, I said, "Hey, wait a minute, man. These people have proven that all the chemicals they're putting in this water and in the atmosphere and everything proves that this is not of nature. It's because of the situation that people have made it to be. That is a fact. So please, don't always finish with whatever you saying with, "That's a fact," because that's a damn lie. I'm going to tell you why. They are lying in scripture.
Prove to me. Hold on. I can prove to you. I can go to scripture right now and tell you. It's a fact. It's a fact. What it is written.
I shut up the whole time you was talking. All you have to do is let me know what scripture is that.
He cocked it.
You don't have to. Hey, you don't have to keep telling me, "Well, the Bible says this." What scripture is that? You tell me what scripture. As a matter of fact, link the precepts up, and you'll see why what was said when it was said. You can't take one scripture and say, "Well, this means that."
Right, and then that's going to come from somebody else's theology, Lowe. You said, and when I looked that up, what was that coming from another man's mind? That's not fact. It's coming from what he wasn't even there. That's coming from his mind,
okay,
brother.
Wait a minute.
And I said, research is fact or theory, bro. I'll mute myself on that one, though.
Yeah, go on and mute yourself on that. Okay, anyway, now I'm going to bring this other call in, and then we're going to let Minister Siegel comment on all those things you just said, because I know he's sitting over here waiting. He's ready to get into you, but hold on. Let me bring this other call in first. All right, area code 561, welcome to the show. Who do we have on this line?
New York State, I think.
I'm listening.
You listening?
Yes.
Okay.
Great
all
conversation.
All right. Oh, okay.
All right.
All righty. Well, welcome to the show.
Come on, so I want to listen a while before I have a comment.
Okay.
Go ahead,
all righty. All right, Minister Siegel, go ahead and comment on Mr. Arfax and his statement.
Just one statement I want to make. Again, first of all, I do appreciate your opinion. It's good. Sometimes a lot of people do not want to discuss anything like that. Or Roberts University is one of the. You can answer the question for Wesley right there. But one of the questions we have is. Accepting things on faith. A lot of times you said that it's just a matter of interpreting what somebody read. Well, if that's the case, that would be the case with any book you read. It's a matter of how you interpreted it and what you believe that it actually meant. When you go to theology school, they give you a standard understanding of what they meant, but that's the beauty of the Bible, is that when you begin to read it and when you begin to apply it, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you, and I firmly believe this with all of my heart, as you're reading the book, if you're truly reading it for understanding. The Bible says it's quick and it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That means the word quick, the Bible is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'll challenge you to read it, truly saying, Lord
no,
God,
but you want me to read it your way.
Can he finish?
No. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm telling you is I want you to read the book. Now, remember, when you talk about a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's not a three-way relationship. That's a relationship between you personally and Jesus Christ. And again,
okay.
I'm not trying to get
some
on
people believe in the Trinity,
though.
Here we go again.
No. I believe in the Trinity as well. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
What are the words Trinity in the Bible?
But what I want to do, listen, this is what
not
I want
in
to do.
Bible.
Listen, before we begin to go off on another topic, because we won't get to the end of any topic if we continue to fight about four or five different ones. So let's stick to the one we're on right now, and then we can move to another one.
That's what
is that okay?
We do here on the Mr. Talk Show, though. Well, go ahead.
Okay.
I got you.
Hold on.
That's the culture.
Okay,
we're going to try and change the culture.
Hold on for a minute. I got a question for Michael, and I really do. Mike, if you read any book or what have you, especially Bible, how are you reading for somebody else, to do what somebody else is telling you. How mm-hmm. you? I mean, you just said something about you reading what they want you to hear. Mm-hmm. You reading it yourself. So you
man, hold on. Listen, what did I tell y'all? What did I tell y'all? When I do my research on factual information, when you're sitting in computers, listen to me, you're cutting me off. I can wait to listen. Listen, bro. When I do computers or any type of research, I can read a book about science and measurements or trade to a mechanic or something with things I can measure, factual things that I can clearly see. But you telling me to go and read a book about theology, about man's thoughts, and think I'm going to come to some factual clues that I can measure, that I can replicate and be for a fact. And I say, I laugh at y'all. I'll talk about y'all on my show tonight.
Good. Won't nobody
okay,
be
Okay, Michael, look, Michael, I'm going to put it like this up, Michael, like this. And you said it, mm-hmm. and you talking all that noise, but the other day you said you believe it's going to rain tomorrow. Who told you it's going to rain tomorrow? How you know it's going to rain tomorrow?
Okay, and you know what? It's raining right now in Maryland. We had that tropical storm. Hold on. And you know what? And you know why I said I believe? Listen. If you're not going to let me address myself now, I'll address you later. But the reason why I said I believe them, because I've seen rain before. I can measure it. Now, whether it's going to do that or not, I don't know. But you cannot ask me if I believe in something that I can't even describe. I can describe rain so I can believe it. You can't
you
even
don't
describe it.
Much. You don't describe much of anything because you're asked a simple question.
How can you describe which has no beginning and no ending? How can you even label it? Everything that man labels doctor or reverend, everything that man's label, I guarantee he's controlled it and manipulated.
I can label
everything he does, I guarantee
you. Let me ask you a question.
Does anyone else feel
like we've had this conversation before? Or is it just
well, the reverend's on here. I'm just giving the reverend some education, some factual education.
You ain't educating nobody. If that man finds out you're an idiot, that's what he's doing.
Hey,
Ro.
No hocus pocus.
Ro.
No. Let's back up.
I call on people names.
Different people have the different versions of the Holy Ghost because different people read that book and come up with different opinions on the Holy Ghost. So I guess it's different Holy Ghosts because people come with different terminologies when they read that book.
Absolutely, that's absolutely a lie.
Again,
you go to Acts. You go to
Acts.
No, it's theory. Now the devil is on
you.
Exaggerating.
Can I finish, please? Can I finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
It don't matter, Joe. You are agnostic, so you don't matter anyway.
Go ahead.
But the thing is,
well, that's a ludicrous thinking, Lo. But that's par for the course.
You don't matter anyway. So if you go to Acts, and I don't need anybody to confirm anything I say. You go to Acts, and you will see what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit brings understanding and not confusion. Now, what has happened is you've had a lot of people to go and tweak things around. Let me stand up because it's my time now in the church to act a fool and flip around like a fish out of water. And people will say, oh, this, no, this is true. You know it.
No, that's why I'm laughing because it's true. That's why I'm laughing. I'm picturing somebody flipping around like a fish in church.
Absolutely.
So I laugh.
And so the thing is this. You go to Acts and then you take the precepts from Corinthians, and you will find out what is and what is not to happen in that church. That's the problem. You have people taking these things and mm-hmm. twisting them mm-hmm. and tweaking them how they want it to be. There's your confusion.
Wow. And that's why a lot of people's faith is not based on the Word of God. Their faith is based on
exactly.
what they see in church. A lot of times
exactly.
people will visit one
the Word
church.
Of God.
Let me finish. They'll walk into a particular church and form an entire basis about the whole of Christianity based on what they witnessed in one church. You don't even
right.
do that at McDonald's.
Okay.
Somebody walk into one McDonald's and get bad service. You don't say all of McDonald's is rude. All of McDonald's food is horrible. No, you go to the next one, or you simply say, let me find one that's going to give me exactly what I'm looking for.
You know,
that's important. So the key is this.
Plain
and simple. You got. And that's why it's got to be based on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It can't be based on what you see in the pulpit. It can't be based on what you see happening in the church. Christianity is a relationship first and foremost. That's it.
Right.
All right.
But see, before,
wait a minute, Michael.
You
before
that,
you get
though?
Back
okay.
into your good ready. Hold on, Michael. Hold on. Let me bring Antoinette in. And maybe she can calm Michael down. You know, Antoinette, how you doing, darling? Welcome to the show.
I'm so, I'm well, thank you. And how are you? Can you hear me?
Oh, we're doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Oh,
yeah,
good. I'm asking. Okay, may I add to this that being a Christian is a personal choice. Now,
yes,
you
sir.
Become a Christian by faith. Faith is something that is unseen.
Mm-hmm.
And your hope is in a spirit, because we worship by spirit and truth, not by things that seem. We have battles with their spiritual battles, unseen forces. Now, they may use people. So we have the word of God that is to lead and direct us into all truth.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're not a Christian, then you're going to look for fallacies and everything else to try to prove the Bible wrong, because it appears to be an agenda with people that they have to discredit everything that there is about God and
mm-hmm.
people's faith so that they can take it away, which is so that they can turn to Satan, you know, because if you don't
mm-hmm.
serve God, then you serve Satan, and you may not realize that's what you're doing, but that's what
mm-hmm.
you're doing.
One or the other.
Which is 100% true. No, that's it.
That's
why,
you know, and that's part of the problem that I have with Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
What's your problem?
Because it's illogical to me
mm-hmm.
that a good person, a kind person, a person of good works is going mm-hmm. to be denied the blessings of God, whether it be here on earth or in heaven, because they don't accept and recognize Jesus Christ. I have a difficult time accepting that a Muslim who's a good Muslim, who's a good person, who's not evil, who doesn't steal from people, who doesn't is not misleading people, who isn't harming people, who's a person of good works,
mm-hmm.
that any blessing that God would have, that he's going to block the blessings or preclude this good Muslim from having blessings because he doesn't accept Jesus Christ.
Well,
and that's part of the problem that I have with Christianity, and it's probably a problem that I would have with Islam as well, because I'm sure that there's also doctrines and dogmas within Islam that would say a similar type thing. So, and, well, I have problems with organized religion at all, but we all know that I do believe in God because
yes,
what
we
I
do.
Told you guys the other
yes.
day. I don't believe in God. I know there's God.
Look how bad.
But yeah. I just have difficulty
accepting
with that
fact
and
that Jesus
a couple of other
the
parts
way.
Of Christianity. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me shoot some at you. I'm sorry. I want to shoot some at you real fast, Beasley. The thing about it, now, if you look at the Quran, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, if you look at the Talmuds, if you look at the Talmud, if you look at the Kabbalah, none of those books bring forth prophecies. And the only book that brings forth prophecies that you can put your finger on in the book and can look around and say, man, that's going on right now, is the Bible, the Holy Bible. And you know,
you're talking about the New Testament right now.
No, I'm not. I'm talking
the Bible
about,
itself. Okay.
I'm talking about the Old Testament with the Apocrypha and the New Testament. That's what I'm talking about.
What's the Apocrypha?
The Apocrypha is 14 books that were taken out of the Bible by the whole
okay.
The Roman
okay.
Catholic.
Okay. Okay. All right. I know what you're talking about now.
Okay. So I'm talking about one complete Bible. Now, when you take that Bible. And the thing is, you have to read the Bible through precepts. Just because you're reading one page after another page, you may not understand it. But you may have to go to two or three different places, two or three different books
right.
to get one understanding. That's the scripture, through thy precepts comes understanding. That's how you will understand what's being said. Not just reading it like it's a regular novel.
Right.
Right. But, you know what? And we have often said on this show too, you know, when you read something like that, you actually have to go back and research what you're reading. You know, because we have often said it has been translated so many different times that sometimes the meanings are diluted. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you have to go back and dig into what the original meanings are, or have been changed to say what they mean in today's society instead of what they meant back when they really meant what they were saying. Now, before we go any further,
you would have to translate those words back into Hebrew or what, Amharic.
You know, but you know what? They have books out there that would help you do that, Beasley.
Of course,
and they actually give us direct translation.
That's an awful lot of work, and most people aren't willing to do that.
Well, I would say, well, then if you're not willing to do the work, then you know that's you missing out on what you could be knowing.
But we know most people that even take the time to crack open a Bible and read it or try to get some type of understanding. And most people are reading it in English.
Mm-hmm.
And the interpretation of most people is going to be along some type of, you know, that all of these stories are literal stories, that none of these stories are allegories, or that all these people actually existed and they actually took, they existed in a historical context. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have any answers, and I get actually uncomfortable speaking about the Bible in detail because I don't have the knowledge and information that so many others have.
I think, but well, not just that, sir. But I think a
isn't
lot
it
of
good to
times
hear me admit
forget,
that I don't know
a lot
something
of times
we
forget.
And,
what we've got to understand, especially in Christianity, and just like anything else, just like when someone tells us about Abraham Lincoln, somebody tells us about George Washington, all you weren't there, so you're accepting on faith what you learned in school. When somebody tells you about Napoleon Bonaparte existing, when somebody tells you a lot of different things, we landed on the moon, none of us were there. What we do is we accept what we were told on faith. And the Bible, a lot of times, it's as simple as that. There's no way to explain how a man died and rose from the dead again. All right? If we say that Jesus did it, we say Jesus died on the cross, you're accepting it on faith, much like you do a lot of other things. A lot of us are sitting on chairs right now. Nobody picked up a chair, checked all the screws in the chair, double-checked all the armrests, made sure the chair wasn't going to fall apart. They had faith in the fact that chair was going to hold them up. So it's the same thing. We exercise faith every day. Get on an airplane, nobody gives the pilot a breathalyzer. You're putting faith in that pilot that he's going to get you to where you're supposed to go. So it's the same with that. We're just putting your faith in the fact that what you're reading right there is true and is verified through the Holy Spirit.
All right, hold on before we go any further. Well, let me bring Maze in. You know, it's really going to get set off now. All right, Maze, welcome to the show. Go on and put your aces in.
Good afternoon.
Hello. But people walk by faith. Christ was not a Christian, and I do not understand why people say that they are Christians if he was not one.
You can't be Christ-like
if you are a Christian. So somebody explain that one to me.
Okay, what a Christian is a follower. The word Christian simply means a follower of Christ. The word Christian didn't come into existence. Until Christ wasn't a Christian,
so how could it be a follower of Christ if he wasn't?
Let him finish first.
Okay.
You're saying, how can you follow him?
No, that is not what I said.
Good. I'm sorry. Maybe this is what you said. How can you call
Christ was not a Christian, so how could you be a follower of Christ if he wasn't one? He only left his commandments down here on this earth.
Because we've been over this 800 times. I'm going to say it again.
Wait a minute, Pastor. You got an expert.
Okay, go ahead, Minister Signal. Go ahead.
To answer your question, I'm sorry. What you were saying is, you said that I want to restate it to make sure I'm understanding correctly. You said because Christ himself was not a Christian, how can we call ourselves Christians? Is that right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, the word Christian, all it means is that you are a follower of Christ. If you look at it just as that, it's almost as if I started something tomorrow and somebody said they were a Willian. All right, Wesleyan religions are individuals who follow Charles Wesley, the way he actually had his religion set up, the way his doctrine was set up. He himself wouldn't be called a Wesleyan because he was blazing the trail. Jesus Christ was the one who lived a life, and he set the standard for us to follow. So because we follow that, Just like we're members of this nation, we call ourselves Americans. We are members of America.
Hold right there.
We are Christians
right
because we are members of the body of Christ.
I have another one.
You know what? Actually, Mays, that is correct. The word Christian only appears in the Bible three times, actually. And that's
Christ
it.
Wasn't one, so
you
that's
know,
why
but,
I don't call my
yeah,
name.
It's because those Christ can't be a Christian. Christ can't be a Christian because he was the leader of the of Christianity. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's why
well,
everybody who follows him are considered
actually, didn't they create Christianity after he died when they started writing about him? Weren't they creating Christianity then?
It was called the Way.
Right.
Initially, they were called Children of the Way. Christianity was called very simply the Way. What happened is because individuals saw who the leader was Jesus Christ. Everyone they were patterning their lives after Jesus Christ. So the Romans called them Christians. That's the name, and that's how it became. Before that, they were simply called Children of the Way.
So the Romans were men, right?
But before that, right, but see, before Constantine even had it, there was still division on how Christianity is because some people in Ethiopia served Jesus. Well, no, because we're talking about the Christianity in the book.
He said nobody went
about.
That far yet. That was 200.
What is he talking about?
Nobody went that far yet.
you're embarrassing yourself right now.
But you are
taking a leap. We're talking about
Hold on. When the Bible was written. What didn't Constantine control that Bible when it was written? How we have it now?
Wait a minute.
Shoot that gun.
Now you're asking a question, and as you'll say, I got an expert sitting next to me, so let him answer the question, Michael.
Right.
No way in the world am I saying to anybody he's got to agree with everything that I'm saying because I do invite everyone to please research. But I'm going to tell you
ask another question, okay?
Exactly, because they don't like to answer them.
Let the minister answer the question, and then let Michael ask another one.
What's the expert's name, first of all?
First of all, nothing, Mace. He's here to answer questions.
Shut up, Joe.
No, you shut up.
Did anybody call you an expert?
Okay.
I'm asking him questions.
Well, I'm not the expert. What do you think I'm saying?
All right, I can fix this. All right. Everybody is on mute right now, okay? Now. We're going to let the minister answer the question first, and then I'll open up the mic so everybody can everybody can have their comments. So go ahead, Minister Sigma.
All right, and just to go back to the original question, I believe that Ms. Mays, you said that I didn't answer the question correctly. I just want to make sure I'm explaining it correctly. Christian, all it is a title, all right? It's not a religion in itself. It's a title that's saying we are individuals who've chosen to follow the lifestyle led by Jesus Christ. The rules and the teachings of Jesus Christ, if you follow them, you are called a Christian, plain and simple. All right?
No,
and that title came
saying,
into existence early on.
Okay. Well, what did he mean
ahead,
down
sorry,
here?
Please.
What law was left down here for us to follow? And it didn't
this
say follow Christian. He left a law for
well,
us to
once
follow,
again,
didn't he? He left a law
if
for
you,
us to follow
yes, he did.
His commandments. That's what was left to us. He
okay.
didn't say we had to be a Christian to follow those laws.
You want to? You know my understanding? That man
no,
that they described, that they characterized as Jesus, was far too humble and far too meek and far too egoless to even, it seems as though he wouldn't even, he was like, here, this is how I'm living my life, and this is how it could be or it should be. But he didn't seem like he was the type that would force it on anybody. That he would force on anybody, that he wouldn't even want people to form some type of movement or following. It just seemed like that he wasn't that driven for that. And I could be wrong, but
he did say, "Upon this rock I will build my church."
And if you allow me to answer that one, that's a very good point. That's a very good point that you make. You say that you don't believe that Jesus would have had enough. We have to remember this same Jesus that we're talking about now. in the Bible it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He doesn't force anybody to do anything.
Right.
All
right.
He says,
like,
"I'm standing here. I'm standing here." Go ahead. He says, "I'm standing here, arms outstretched, and I'm asking you to make a decision for me." There's no forcing at all.
Right. Exactly.
Only thing we're supposed
really,
to do. We
really letting you make your own mind up. He's really humble and meek. But when I look at the way the church evolved, and I'm going to fast forward a bit, if you excuse me. And you look at the way that, you know, if you look at the way the church evolved, and you look at things like, you know, the Inquisition into Central and South America, and when you look at the Crusades, it's like a different mentality took place. A different, you know what I'm saying? Get what I'm saying?
It was probably corruption. I do understand exactly what you're saying. But see, what that would do is this. I'll give you another example. The America stands for, we're supposed to be, fairness. We're supposed to spread it. When we go to other countries, we're supposed to fight. We stand for the Geneva Convention, and we try to say, these are the rules of war. When an individual soldier walks off of a file and in the name of the country that he's supposed to be representing executes 20 civilians inside of a city,
like the guy
he perverted
did.
What he claimed to represent.
But you wouldn't expect anything because they're men. It says, let no man change my laws, and man changes, so we wouldn't expect anything different now.
That's what you have to remember. As human beings and as people, we do make mistakes because man is flawed, because man is corrupt. Man will do a lot of things in the name of religion, which is wrong, 100% wrong, that go against, they claim to be Christians, but they're not acting as Christians. They're not following the rules and the dictates of the Bible. We're talking about the New Testament under the New Covenant.
Right, now listen, you said,
Let me say one more thing. When we walk into, and you have an individual who goes into an abortion clinic and decides that he's going to do something for the Lord and blow up the clinic, and he says he's going to walk in and blow up the clinic, he does that in the name of the Lord, saying the Lord does not want abortion clinics on earth.
Hello?
Do you believe that that's the way the Lord would handle that?
Hello?
Absolutely not. That's a man taking his own freedom to operate, because God doesn't create robots. He gives man free choice and free will. When they begin to go and do things like that in his name, it perverts what he stands for.
What is
okay, now
what
can
is
I
the
ask you a
Wow, yo.
Huh?
Go ahead, Michael.
I'm sorry. Now I heard about three questions. I got to get it.
I want three questions. Can I get three questions in?
Can you ask one question?
No. You can't get three questions. One.
Okay. Let's go to your last topic. There's many other questions I want to ask, but let's go to your last topic. You talk about the choices that we make, right? And I'm going to ask you, does God know the choices we're going to make before we make them? You're God. You're quote-unquote God. Does he know the choices that we're going to make before we make
them? I like that.
Yes or no?
Yes.
And because I'm an individual who believes wholeheartedly in the fact that God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, I believe he does. I believe
okay,
he now has knowledge of what's going to take place down the line.
Okay,
this
is my next question to you. Right. So he knows all. So this is my next question to you. If he made all of us, he knows how we're going to live, and he knows the choices that we're already going to make. Why is there a conflict between God and man's choices? Because there's no
you said,
because
no,
you
remember,
said there's no separation between our choices. If he already knows, if his mind already knows and knows,
you
going to
ask one question and answer for him, or what?
Right,
you gonna
exactly.
Do?
Okay, that was my next question. It's funny. Somebody just said exactly what I was going to say. I like to restate the question and make sure that we're on the same page. Your question to me is, if God knows the choices, the answers to the questions that he asks us, or knows in advance the choices that we're going to make, is that the first part?
Yes. Why is
Hello?
Where is the conflict then? If you know what the word conflict is, right?
Right. And I can answer that one real quick. The conflict is very simply this. Man does not have a desire to conform to what God wants. Remember, he makes it plain. This is what he says. This is the word. Obviously, a lot of times as Christians, we forget sin is more fun sometimes. sometimes we always say, guess what? I want to go in a different direction. God has a will, and just like
that
my son.
Sin will get, well, right, but that sin will give me pain.
Like, you ain't letting a man answer the question.
Michael,
mind.
Would you let
him
answer
the question? Let him answer.
This, you know what? This is the same
stop
stuff he did.
Stop interrupting the man and let him give an answer. I want to hear the
right.
answer, not you.
Same stuff he did before he quit calling the last time.
Is that goofy? Stop.
Sounds like
stop. Everybody stop for a moment. Mm-hmm. Was that goofy I just heard?
Yes.
I don't like
the
Jew.
No,
how dare you call the one angry Jew goofy? I want to hear the answer. I want to hear Michael.
We don't want to hear you.
I want Michael to shut up and let the man answer.
You know,
shut the fuck up, Jew. Shut the fuck up.
Right.
That's why I'm calling you on Blog Talk Radio. Shut the fuck up. You got
all right, go ahead, Minister.
Wow. Typically, I don't argue just for the sake of arguing, but you did have a serious question, so that's what I want to do. I want to answer that one. You said, why is there conflict? Just having knowledge of what I may do does not eliminate the fact that he's giving me a choice to make it. He may say to me, guess what? I have an opportunity to either sin or not sin. You can choose. I'm laying before you two choices. I'm laying before you life and death. You can tell, you can choose life with me, and you can make the choice. Now, even though you may know in advance what choice I may make, the choice still belongs to me. It's the same thing I said with my son when he was a baby. I can put broccoli on the table. I can put cookies on the table. I can say to my son as a child, two choices are in front of you right now. Which one are you going to chase? Of course, I know that my boy, because I know my son, I know my child, just like God knows me. He knows I'm going to wind up, I know he's going to wind up grabbing that cookie. But what is the choice?
No.
The right choice
no,
is
no,
to
no,
make sure
no,
you
no, 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 hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. So listen, between father and son, that's two human beings we're talking about. But you don't know all, sir. You can't say that. Would you just say the example between that example? Because I heard that
this
example before, and it's a flaw.
This is a waste of this dude is a waste of time. You're a waste.
No,
of time.
Why are you come? No, he
remember.
Used the example. Listen, sir. You
what
is he? Do not have the dialogue, sir. You know why they're going to jail? You know why Lo cut me off? Because
this is why you got cut off. Let me bring another caller. All right, area code 313. Welcome to the show. Who do I have on this line?
Welcome. This is Les. How are you?
And welcome me.
I'm doing fine, Les. How are you doing today?
It's a great show. It's a great show. And you know, I'm sitting back and I'm listening to all this, and I'm sitting back and I'm saying to myself, you know, this is exactly what it talks about. Man has sat back and allowed chaos and confusion to sit back and dictate their terms, and they've forgotten that they were put here to be in dominion over everything. We do have a choice. God does know how it will outcome if you sit back and even look at the simple factors that all of this was said and put there in the Word of God, but the book itself, not saying the Bible, because we tend to put all this emphasis on the Bible, it's the book of life. When are we going to learn to live harmonious? When are we going to sit back and look at our lives and say, look, is this what we become? We become people that can't even agree to disagree. We're having a war right here on this show.
Really?
Let me ask you a question.
I don't care what you believe. You can believe whatever you want.
That's
you
right.
Come into the knowledge of your own higher power.
We're not talking
but
about
believe
no,
me, as you experience life, and if you sit back and read the book of life, you won't find anything in the book that said anything that will harm you as an individual, but it will only build you up and open your eyes spiritually to let you know that you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but you're wrestling against all these powers and principalities.
I am asking a question. I'm still waiting.
Come on.
How does one read the book of life, if I may ask
okay,
a question?
Please.
When did the new covenant
start? Okay, let's wait for a minute. Let's let Ms. Mays answer a question. I believe I got the name right. Is that right?
Yes. Mays, what was your question? I thought we had answered that already, but go ahead.
No, he was talking about the new covenant. When did it start?
I'm sorry, say that again. When did what start?
He said the new covenant. We're under the new covenant. When did it start?
Oh, wow, that was a while ago. All right. I'm saying, you've been patient. Wow, I haven't heard a bunch of things. Okay, the new covenant began in the second when Jesus Christ died. The veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. That began a new covenant. That ripping of the veil showed that no longer was there a need for the blood sacrifice. Jesus Christ fulfilling everything that happened in the Old Testament. We are under the new covenant now. That gave you and I a right to simply go to the Lord and say, Lord God, forgive me of my sins and allow us to get back into a right standing with God. Whereas before that, it was a requirement for a sacrifice, which is why if you read the Old Testament, it's full of sacrifice. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice.
Right?
When he gave his life and died on the cross.
Does everybody have that right?
Once again?
Does everybody have that right?
Sir, that is the beauty of this thing.
Gave it to us? You said to answer my question, who gave us the new covenant? If we already have a covenant, why did we get a new one?
Because man, the old covenant was a covenant between
Abraham and God.
Did man do
they
it?
Were given the laws.
You needed a new and improved version.
Wait a minute, everybody talking.
Excuse me, mate.
Let me answer. Just so you're clear, because your question is, where did the new covenant come from? And it's called the new covenant because it's a new relationship between God and man, which is a covenant, almost a promise between God and man. God's previous promises, because Adam sinned, because of Adam's original sin. Now, remember, anything that I say is predicated on the fact that you believe the word of God. Because if you don't, what I'm saying is going to be foolishness. So what I'm saying, plain and simple, is Adam's sin, original sin, caused a separation between God and man. And because of that separation between God and man, that means I no longer had a right. Remember, God wants relationship. That's what he seeks. So in order for that relationship, it was interrupted when Adam brought sin into the world by believing what the enemy told him. So that put us in a whole situation where there was a need for a sacrifice. That means a man, a holy people, the Levites, had to go in, sacrifice yearly. They had to sacrifice an animal to God because it was taking blood to restore the relationship between God and man. Now, when Jesus died, that was the ultimate sacrifice. When he said on the cross, when he quoted, "It is finished." When he said, "It is done, I have finished the job that you've given me to do, Lord God," and he hung his head and died, the veil to the temple, which was what separated God from man, the holies of holies from what was on the outside, was separated by that veil. When that was ripped, that allowed you and I to be able to go in to have a relationship with God again. But the key is you've got to choose it, and he doesn't force it.
So why is it that when Adam committed the sin or Eve committed the sin that everybody else afterwards is staying with the original sin when they didn't do anything?
I have a real problem with that.
Well, there should be no real problem with it because what it was when Adam committed the original sin, it was biting into the fruit which gave you the knowledge of good and evil, which till this day we still don't want to distinguish or admit that it exists in our minds because we are perpetrating the fraud that we don't believe in something that most religions believe in the same God. They may have different interpretations. I was just sitting back in a conversation.
Which makes it a different God. What makes it a different God? Which makes it a different God?
Still not answering the question. The question is,
which makes it a different God?
We follow you and have more mouths.
They never answer the question. They can, Joe.
Here's the fact.
They can
answer.
It's so
simple.
They can answer, Joe.
Afterwards, it's stained with this original sin.
You can't tell the difference because everybody gets
so when the original, how was an innocent boy, an innocent girl who wasn't even born yet, are they stained with original sin?
Because of some slick stuff.
Hey, Joe, when you ask them a question, they'll say, go find it out for yourself. That's what they tell
you.
You
know
what?
How about I just don't accept the whole idea of sin?
You need to come back to becoming a Jew, Beasley. Jew and everything will be clear.
I pray to the name of the Holy Tetragrammaton. The Most High name of God. That's where I pray to. I avoid all the...
You might have to be circumcised, but we'll take you.
I've been circumcised, but that's what I'm saying.
You're halfway in.
That's all right. Really, Jew. This is
This is the thing.
Many of the practices. Many of the practices.
I don't want to talk
somebody asked it. I'm not sure where.
And grafted them into our everyday lives because they seem to be practical. Like I said, we did have knowledge of good and evil. We did get knowledge out of this thing. Look at the word knowledge.
Nobody
think about
got
what
knowledge
we gained
out of anything when you're a kid, when you're born. You don't have knowledge of the past.
How were you born with it? You were
born,
yes,
you
automatically knew.
That's the question,
from
Les.
The day you
why
came
is
out,
everybody born
your
with this original
titty.
Sin?
And Joe, can
God
he finish?
Down,
Joe, can he finish?
I'm going to break this down so practical to you, brother. If you sit back and listen,
that's
from the
know
day
what you're
that
talking,
you came out of your mother's
you
womb,
know what you're
you
talking
started
about
okay,
is a religious dogma.
And you
what you're talking about is a religious dogma that has been pushed upon people
of how to manipulate good and evil for
but
your purpose.
I'm not
purpose.
Answering the question, Les, but that's part
well,
of the course,
what?
Too.
It is the question. You talk,
what,
you talk about life here. See, you keep talking about
want,
religion. Religion is a form of life. What form of life do you choose?
It's still
if you
going
look
around
at the definition
and
of religion.
Oh,
at
hold on, Les.
Okay, wait a minute,
Les. Hold on a second.
Hold on, wait a minute.
Good. He said around and around in circles.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Hold on for a minute. All right, everybody hold on. All right, now, Joe asked a question,
mm-hmm.
and Les was trying to give, help him out. But, you know, so we're going to ask, and Les was doing a pretty good job, you asked
mm-hmm.
me. But we're going to go ahead and ask Minister Signal, my co-host, who's here with me today, y'all. And
hello, all.
You know, like I say, we're going to do a start doing a show on relationships on Thursday evening. Hopefully
mm-hmm.
we can get the logistics together. But
mm-hmm.
He's here. You know, and he's participating. So, you know, he is a minister, y'all. He's been to the school. So let him answer some of these questions.
So let
him
hear from him.
You know, why does everybody keep hopping in? Let him answer. You know, you have the opportunity now. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, for those out there listening, we have 37 minutes left in the
mm-hmm.
show. So if you want to continue to hear the show live, before going overtime, just give us a call, 347-838-8622, or you can join us in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All right? So, Minister Signal, can you please address some of these questions that they have asked already? I know it's a whole lot of
I'm trying to look at the chat board to see if there's one in there. I think it was my brother asked, and forgive me for saying my brother because the names are eluding me just because I'm hearing so many different voices. But somebody said something about the idea of parental sin, and they don't accept it. Is that right?
Welcome to BTR. You just start hearing voices.
Here we go. That's how it goes. That's all right. That's all right. Lively discussion. That's good. Okay. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. Just somebody who had the question.
I think Joe asked the question. Go ahead,
okay.
Joe.
Okay, the question is,
okay.
because people have brought up
where did it come
sin.
From, or how can we be held accountable? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Right. If God died for our sins.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Somebody had already mentioned that
yes.
the original sin came from Adam eating the Bible.
God didn't die for our sins
mm-hmm.
first.
Adam
first
eating the Bible.
Okay, first thing is that's my question.
Okay.
And the
okay.
thing is, if God supposedly died or did not die for us, and forget about all that, how is an innocent boy or girl going to have original sin after the death of Christ, with the Holy Trinity, or whatever stuff that people want to believe in? How did this original sin
right.
come about? Okay, that's my question.
Okay, let's look at. Okay, I got it. This is what happened. In the beginning, very beginning, when God created Adam, he said to Adam, I'm giving you dominion over everything on this earth. That means you have got the power. Adam, I'm putting it in your hands. I want you to name everything. Adam had all the keys. He had all the power. When Adam decided to sin, he gave the devil a right to operate. He basically said to the devil, guess what? I'm going to listen to what you're saying. Guess what? Eve sinned. And Adam, remember, the devil didn't have any power until Adam, the one God had given the authority to, when he sinned, that allowed sin into the world. And if the easy question is, if there's sin in the world, who has to tell a child a lie? Nobody. It's on their own. That's just one little thing that happens real quick without even thinking about it. Nobody needs to tell kids how to do things wrong. What has to happen is things begin to originally turn around, plain and simple. What Jesus had to come for was because Adam legally, remember, God, he could have said, we're going to restart. But God says, no, I'm not going to do that. Adam, because I gave you the authority and you chose to turn that over to the devil, I've got to do something to get it back from the devil rather than just snap my fingers and say no. So what I'm going to do is send my son, which will be the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, to give my people the ability to come back into a relationship with me. Jesus' death was to give you a choice. Adam said, devil, you're going to be in charge. Jesus came so that you and I might have life, so that we don't have to automatically go to a hell, so that we don't have to die. We don't have to suffer. All we have to do is say, Lord God, we accept and believe you as our Lord and Savior. And when you begin to accept that, that takes you out of the sin of death. You don't have to pay a price anymore. But Jesus came so that we would have an avenue out of original sin, thus giving us a choice.
Well, I don't need to have
again, that's exactly
have a
what
choice about being born with original
now, again,
sin.
Again, I'm not interested on anybody. I can only tell you why it's
right.
the case and why it's the way we are right now as Christians.
So could you
okay,
can
I... Well, I haven't said nothing in a while. It goes back to original sin.
I have one question. I have one question.
I know you're hating Joe because you got your boy shook.
Whether you agree or not, did that answer your question? I know you may not agree with it, but did that...
No, that doesn't answer my question.
I never said I would agree.
Well,
I just want to ask a question about the... It still goes to original credit. And John says...
Wait a minute, Michael. You're going to get your question in. Just hold on. All right, go ahead, Joe. Go on and...
No, he asked me if that answered the question. I said no. He doesn't have to elaborate on it anymore. He's going to be saying the same thing, and I've heard it before.
And it's not going to
answer.
I'm okay with his answer
that
he gave
me,
and I'm ready to have anybody else ask another question.
Okay. Well, my question is this. Okay. If you have your answer, if you already have your mind made up, then why would you even care? Even if someone brought forth some more information that you could say, okay, well, whatever, why would you even care? That's
what I always think about you, Lo, because all of a sudden...
Well, we're not talking about me. We're not talking about...
I want to address it, and then I'll ask another question.
Of course you do. All I'm asking is...
Good Lord, can't nobody say nothing. Go ahead, Lo.
All I'm asking is, if you hear the same thing time and time and time again, even though it's a different person saying this stuff, and you don't want to acknowledge it, why keep asking? Because eventually it gets to the point where it's just it's a no-brainer. Hey, you're going to...
No.
I mean...
See, when someone says that they open up a book and they read a verse and then they say this verse would mean, they went to school, they said they're experts. If I ask them a question and they say, well, I can't answer that to me, then I'm only asking questions for clarification. Now, if I ask them questions for clarification and they can't give me clarification with understanding, then it shows me a whole lot. So look, if I ask them a question about something
saying.
That they don't understand, I'm going to say, well, hold up. Do you really understand what you're actually saying you're an expert in? That's all. I'll go ahead and meet myself on that one.
I understand what you're saying, but the thing is, you're a grown man.
Yeah, you
need that's just the other day. Do you believe in anything and you tap dance around all the rest of the show? You could not say yes or no. Any other thing that they could talk about, computers, why the Congress said this or whatever. Oh, no. But you was asked personally, do you believe that there's a being that made everything that exists? And you put on some shoes and you ain't stopped tapping since. So that's why, Mr. All Facts, I can't run with you because you will divert away from the facts when you're asked a personal question. A man will say, yes, I believe this, or no, I don't believe this. But to take the scapegoat and say, well what exactly are you asking? Yeah, I can't really. What are you saying? Yeah.
Can you define that? Can you touch it?
Can you define that?
I can't touch it or feel it.
Come on, man. And you know, I don't say this stuff. I don't say this to be, you know, a cloud over the show, but, you know, even with Joe,
listen,
you've asked this question before.
See how he's personally
talking. Somebody else is saying this.
Someone's always twisting my words.
Okay,
somebody else
is saying
this.
Stop.
But it don't matter.
Yeah, stop. Wait a minute. Wait 8 minutes. All right, stop.
I said the Bible has factual
Michael,
information.
Nobody's attacking you. We just telling you facts. As you say,
no, you're not. No, you're not.
But anyway, let me bring this lady in.
If you're telling me facts, you can answer every question I can have.
Let me bring this lady in.
I can't even tell what's going on.
You don't even answer every question you have.
A bunch of men just jabbering and attacking each other and talking about each other personally.
Good afternoon, Miss Lady. How are you?
Hello.
How are you today? Okay. What do you have to add to the conversation now?
I'm just like, I don't know, because all I hear is a bunch of squabbling and men's voices and attacking and asking personal.
May's on the show, too, so you heard a woman's voice, too.
She don't hear me squabbling in there trying to take over.
That's the beauty of
really, it's ridiculous. Is there a minister on the show? I don't even, is there a minister?
Okay, Miss Lady.
But they drowned.
Okay, Miss Lady. Okay. Is there a question or a point in there besides, you talk about
the
callers?
What is the point, and is there a minister on the show? And what is the goal? I mean, what is the issue?
To ask some questions.
We just like arguing with each other. That's what we do.
No one's arguing. It's just, hey.
But I got it so far. It's like we're frustrated individuals with a lot of different opinions, and we're coming together to discuss them. That's what it sounds
right.
like.
Am I right?
Is that right? Yeah, you're right.
He's an expert, so we want to ask an expert question.
We do have a minister on the line, Miss Lady. Is there a question you'd like to ask Minister Signal?
Oh, ask the minister? Could he address that we battle not against flesh and blood, but about spirit, about unseen spirits in the spiritual and heavenly realms? Because a lot of people thinking and behavior is directly related to that. And that becomes how much is free choice. How much of a free choice does a person have? I mean,
That's good. That's a great question. I'm sorry, wait, were you finished?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Okay, yeah, definitely. First of all, let me address my wife's texting me right now. She said, make sure I say that we're not, nobody's an expert in anything, definitely. I don't want to say that, okay? Because nobody can say that they know it all. Anybody that says that they know it all and they know anything, immediately you know that's a person you probably should stop listening to, okay? But I do want to say... Oh, Wesley, then call me a minister of chaos and confusion.
I
think I've been the one that hasn't been arguing with anybody this whole show, Wesley. Come on, man. Don't be like that. All right. But to answer the question, we talk about principalities, powers, and might.
Right.
The enemy is
right.
for real. There are demon spirits out here. There are spirits that do a lot when people allow them. They don't just have free will to do what you get into you and to cause you to do anything. It's almost by suggestion. If you begin to engage in certain activities, you open the door. And I preached a message on this in church Sunday. When you open the door, he's coming in.
Wow.
If you want to, there are individuals who want to say, all of a sudden now I'm bound by alcohol, I'm stuck, I can't do anything about it. Usually that started with those first few drinks that they begin to allow themselves to engage in. Now they're stuck. People who engage in a lot of behavior that pulls them away from where they should be. Yes, there are demon spirits in the world. And truly, that doesn't mean that you don't have free will. The key is you've given access to the enemy. That's the point. Go ahead, my brother. You know, and that's a good point. And we've asked this one question on the show before, you know, and we've gotten into a big discussion about this. And also, does God give man free will? Is there such thing as free will?
Mm-hmm. And I believe wholeheartedly, absolutely.
Okay.
I believe
absolutely.
Just like I wouldn't want my children to love me just because I told them to,
mm-hmm.
God is the exact same way.
Will.
He says,
sorry,
I want a relationship with my children, but I want them to come because they choose to. I want them to choose to come to me with open arms. So that when you're in a church or when you're around a group of people that try to force you to believe a certain way, that's going directly against what the Bible says.
What do you think God does?
Behold, I stand at the door. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What do you think God does? God says you either follow my way or you go to hell. Now, just because
you need to follow my way by choice. I'm sorry, we are a different thing.
No.
Did we get all
free will
okay,
means you can extricate yourself
from
dangerous situations. Extricate yourself from the will of God, you do not have free will.
How's that?
Now you
because
said you can't.
You cannot
you
extricate
can.
Yourself from
I'm a person who believes firmly
that
like this one. God, listen, if.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. You and I, we look like
would you accept
each other.
Would you
I want to
accept
make sure
Hitler?
You want to say yes, so when I reply, we're hearing each other. Go ahead.
Would you accept Hitler telling you that you can either do things his way or get tortured? No. So why are you accepting that some supernatural body is telling you, well, I'm going to give you free will, but if you just don't happen to follow my type of agenda, you're going to hell. But you've got free will to go to hell. None of that to me makes sense.
What you're doing is I believe you're making one mistake. You're comparing Hitler to God, and I believe that's
right.
An error.
Well,
what you're doing is you're assigning divinity or divine status to God, and that's 100% not true. Hitler wouldn't be
right.
In a place as a flawed human being to make a decision like that and force anybody to act. However, I do believe that a supreme, divine, infallible God who says that this is the standard, rise to it or don't rise to it. I believe that's a different standard than if Hitler says it.
What God is saying, is this not true? God says, you've got to do things my way or you're going to hell. Isn't that being the same as Hitler?
No.
No, I don't believe so. Remember, this is what he said.
Oh, my goodness, Joe. How could you compare God to Hitler?
Why not?
No.
You guys are not understanding logic. If you guys want to learn, you have to keep quiet.
This man is not being logical.
Okay, you don't want to learn.
Hold on. All right.
Preach a question.
I had a question and I never got it answered.
Go ahead.
Never.
Okay, wait a minute, Michael. One second. I believe now. Your original question. I just want to make sure before we go back and go off. Did your question answer, or do you think was more explanation? I know we got stepped on each other.
No, exactly. And I do believe there's demons and there's spirits, and if there's evil spirits, they have to be good spirits. Because I know people that played with Ouija boards as children, and that thing started moving all around, even when they didn't have their hands on the implement, and it was testing and carrying on. I mean, that's real.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's evil, there has to be the contra opposite, which is good. If there's ultimate evil, there has to be ultimate good. And so that's my belief. It doesn't have to be anybody else's.
If I could just interject, and I'm not going against anything that was said by anybody, but there's no such thing as ultimate evil and ultimate and just regular evil. Evil is evil regardless, to whether it's a quote unquote little white lie. Or you went out and murdered somebody.
It's all wrong. All lies are the same. All crimes are the same. Right. That's why
and,
the all crimes are the
and
same.
And you're absolutely right.
But you know what? You make no
stuff.
Sense. I'm sorry. Oh. Pastor, this person is always. I mean, really.
Okay. All right.
This is a lot. Okay.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
As far as the Ouija board stuff.
Hello, can I ask a question now?
Hold on. Let me. No, you can't, Mace. You in line. I'm going to get to you. Go ahead, Mike. Ask your question, Michael. Michael?
Now he don't know his name.
I guess I'm muted myself.
I'm tired of y'all twisting my words. Y'all just always twisting my words. I don't ever get to talk. I got my own show at 8 o'clock at night. It's the All Facts Show.
Go ahead, Mace.
Where in the Bible, I mean, why do they put people in the pulpit, and what is their purpose of being there, and what are they supposed to be doing? Because a lot of people have left that building, and they get the same, I mean, they don't have to.
And left the building, they left the church?
Yes.
Okay. Let them answer, Mace. No, you and Michael, boy, y'all throw 800
questions
together,
man.
Eric,
would you please let Lowe, he doesn't have to address anything I say. Or he doesn't have to address anything to me. It's been very disrespectful.
I wish you would die, for real. I wish you would die. I don't care about you.
You know what?
That's not a Christian thing to say.
I got y'all.
Y'all in the green room. Y'all work it out. All right, go ahead, Minister Sigmund.
Who is the lady that he gets along with so well? This is a reoccurring thing. What's her name?
Green room, so they'd be all right. Go ahead.
What's her name, so I can know who she is?
You said it.
Her name is Miss Lady.
Her name is Lady.
Miss Lady.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know. You were right.
Can we
didn't even know it.
To the question so you can answer.
That ain't no way to treat no lady.
Okay, Maze, I'm sorry. Please, can you ask your question one more time, please?
I said the purpose of having the person in the pulpit. What is the purpose and what are they supposed to be doing with the people that since so many people have left?
But okay, when you say so many people have left, you mean left the church?
They still have the Holy Spirit, but they're not within the building anymore because they're not getting, I guess, what is the purpose of the preacher being there?
Okay. Now, the
don't worry, minister. We have a hard time understanding her, too.
That's all right. So I just want to narrow it down. I'm sorry. The purpose, you're saying, why do we even have preachers? Is that it?
Yes.
Maze? Okay. Yeah.
Maze?
Is that it? Okay. All right. This the purpose is simple. It's supposed to be an individual anointed by God, just like there are different offices. There are teachers. There are preachers. There are different people who are singers. There are psalmists. There are different people with different anointings. A preacher is an individual who's supposed to be anointed by God to break down the word of God, to say, basically, to be very simply a mouthpiece for God. When God is speaking, the idea is, plain and simple, that you're actually putting time in to study the word and getting a message from God to deliver people. Now, what happens is, a lot of times, again, it gets perverted. The devil of pride can move in with individuals in the pulpit, and that's why you may see people falling away from the church because they're disillusioned with what they see.
Okay.
You know what? There's a
I'm
lot
hearing a bit of echo.
Problems.
I want to make sure. Is that? Yes, there are.
And you know what? So how could you? How
there are a lot of false prophets, just like there are a lot of false politicians. There are a lot of individuals who use their position.
That
they're
I understand.
Man, you
but
can forget about
thing.
That. She ain't gonna show
my
up.
My question is, what would be the best way to discern if someone's a false prophet? Now, I went to a church, a big church, mega church, who's on TV in Atlanta. And I could see the mass hypnosis techniques being put in very effective. And people are giving their Social Security checks, their children's money that they need to feed and clothe and send them to college with. And, you know, and the minister, you know, he has his Bentleys and mansions and private jets. This is what I'm saying. What recommend in terms of, because some people are just adamant, they're going to keep going and sitting there and giving away their money and being entertained.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And let me tell you, I believe, and let me tell you, I believe wholeheartedly that individuals who take advantage of a position that God has placed you in are going to truly have to pay for the crimes that they committed. And I tell you that there's going to be a lot of people, when the Lord comes back, there are going to be a lot of pastors standing there in their pulpits looking up, wondering what happened. They're going to be in hell. There are going to be a lot of people who lived their life as pastors that everybody looked at and swore that they were going to be the individuals who were going to heaven in a white chariot, or God was going to come down himself to take them to heaven. They're going to be opening their eyes in hell because of what they've done, with what God has given them. Now,
well, let's go back
to answer your question directly, is plain and simple. You cannot let me finish. What you cannot do is place your faith in that person that you see in the pulpit, regardless of the church you go to. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, any individual who doesn't point you directly to the Lord, they're messing up 100%. You've got to walk in there and say, Lord God, is this the church that you want me? Now, you'll never hear me say that churches don't need money. They absolutely do. If you want to go to a church and you want lights on, and you want to have places where they're able to outreach, where they're able to give food to the poor, where they're able to feed the hungry, where they're able to have missions to go to other countries to help people out, well, churches need money to do that. Should a person be giving to the point where they're starving, their kids are starving, they have nothing, and you're giving directly to a pastor and he's driving off in a Bentley or mansions? No, that's the wrong answer. I believe that goes against what God wants.
The amazing
thing,
though, is that they keep growing and the people just...
Wait a minute. Like
they've been hypnotized for real. They've been brainwashed
all
the way.
But what's going to happen to the ones that didn't keep the
faith? I don't want to synonymize. I don't want to make it synonymous. A large church is not synonymous with corruption. Remember, there are some cities that are large. Philadelphia is one city. Philadelphia is a giant city. So it's going to have big churches because there's a lot of people. My wife first.
Right, but look, the city of the big
churches. At all. That's just
right.
Not, I think she likes them. Hold on. Let me finish. Let me finish real fast. Let me finish real quick. And I guarantee you are very next in line.
But what she has is, no, it's not. I'm sorry. The host just said, no, you're not. But what's going to happen is plain and simple. What we got to do is there are large churches that are out there that are not corrupt. So I don't want to say that at all. But there are some large churches. There are some small churches that are corrupt. The goal is for you to say, I'm not just walking in here because I like the music. I'm not just walking in because I like the lights. You've got to discern the spirit of that church. Lord God, is this where you're telling me to be? And I guarantee you, because he loves his children, he's going to make it plain to you.
And you know what? I want to add something to that. Yesterday, I was reading in a paper, and I actually seen an ad to where it say you get paid for going to church like being a secret shopper. You know, you get to actually go and walk in the church. Man, I just started laughing. I said, man, and we just come to that. That is a shame. But let me bring Michelle in. Michelle's been waiting patiently, so let's get her on the line and see what she has to add. Hello, Michelle. How you doing today?
I'm good. Hello, everyone. I feel I'm walking into the into
you
the
are,
pit.
Michelle.
Oh, here we go.
It's the daily chaos.
You are.
I feel like I'm where I think I'm sort of a bit outnumbered here because if you've been looking at my comments in the chat room, you'll see that I'm not religious at all. What's that?
You're not outnumbered. I'm here to back you up. I'm here to back you, Michelle. You're not
outnumbered. Let's hurry up. We got time running.
You know what? I got y'all.
You talking,
man. I got y'all because y'all just don't want to. Go ahead. Go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm not religious, but I do consider myself spiritual. And I do have a personal relationship with my version of what you might call God or the Creator or whatever it is.
Well,
the terminology that you use, but it's a personal relationship. I don't need to go and study, I don't need to get information about what feels right to me. And that to me is the compass, is the spiritual compass that people, I think, when they get so bogged down in the word of the Bible or their religious following a faith. It's not about faith anymore. It becomes a religion, and that's different to me to a spirituality. And I don't think you can ever. It will constantly be an argument. You'll never be able to come to a resolution. It has to be a personal. Has to be a personal journey. That's what I think.
Now, and let me tell you, I wholeheartedly agree with you on this point. The fact that there's got to be a relationship. A lot of times when people say, I'm not religious, I can tell you plain and simple, I'm not religious either. Because remember, man made religion. The Lord simply says, I want a person, just like he had with Adam. In the beginning, in the Bible, a guy was able to come down in the cool of the day and talk and have a relationship with Adam. Somebody he didn't have to force to like him. Somebody who wasn't just afraid of him. I created this being who loves me freely. And that's what God wants. He wants a personal relationship with each and every individual. Now, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, because when we come together, we do come together, we do learn about the word, and we learn how to live better lives and to deepen our personal relationships with the Lord. Now, what happens is sometimes we as Christians get preoccupied with our four walls of the church. We get preoccupied with religion, and what does religion say I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to wear a suit on Sunday. I'm supposed to be here at 9 o'clock. If I'm not here at 9 o'clock, I'm going to hell. No, that's not what God is saying. God says, I want a relationship with you built on you knowing me because you're spending time with me in prayer, because you're talking to me, and my relationship with you. That's what it's about, and we've got to get back to that.
Outstanding. And before we go any further, let me tell you, we got 10 minutes left in the regular show. So if you want to continue to hear the show live, make sure you get on the phone lines, 347-838-8622. Or if you want to join us in the chat room, you can continue chatting and just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And, we continue chatting in the chat room also because we do have a great conversation going on there also. Okay. And once again, we have my co-host today, Minister Willie Signal, and he's doing an outstanding job. So if you got any more questions, you go ahead and ask the questions.
Yes, I do.
All right, Michael, you go ahead and get your question in now.
I do too.
Go ahead, Michael.
Well, first of all, I have
Michael, ask your question.
Well, I know. Y'all hating on me. Y'all can't stand me, can you?
Michael, ask
Well, I just want to say something.
Ask
right, exactly. Just feel the hatred. Wow. I guess that's the spirit. I don't know.
You don't
about
raise
spirit
the question.
Question. But anyway, so you said, oh, my question goes back to the false prophet thing. You have been on this airways, and you keep on using something that's saying everyone has to have their own personal experience with Jesus Christ, and they can call themselves, I'm going to heaven, and everybody has their own. All these quote-unquote Christians that read the Bible or say they believe in Jesus Christ, their goal is to get to heaven. But you say that there's multiple ways. There's no standard. There's many, many billions of ways to get that. They can call themselves and they're gone. So there's no way to detect the false prophet because there's no standard to detect it to. You may read the Bible. Hold on. You may read the Bible as a preacher. So my question is if everyone can have their own take of what being living by Jesus is, how can you point to say someone is living righteous? If there's no standard.
Please,
that's my question.
Okay. Mr. Williams, could I please?
Okay. One thing I got to say, you did misquote me. You said that I said that everybody can have their own way.
Right.
I never
yes,
said
that. Yes,
you did. Not under
okay,
any
okay,
circumstances.
Okay.
The Bible
okay,
says
okay,
that Jesus said, no. Let me finish. This is
okay.
what I said. I said everyone has to have a personal
relationship
with Jesus Christ. Now, because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is not the author of, listen, let me finish. Because Jesus is not the author of confusion, when he's talking to you, when you begin to forge your relationship with him, he will not tell me to do one thing by his standard and you to do something else. That's not going to happen because he's not the author of confusion. So listen,
okay,
this is the key. The key in, let me. You misquoted me, so let me fix it. I just want to let you know that's not what I'm saying.
I haven't.
I'm not telling you that there are millions of different ways to do what you want to do. There's a million different ways. The Bible says, Jesus said very plainly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I'm telling you that there's multiple ways, not under no set of circumstances. What I am saying is that you have to forge your own personal relationship with this Jesus who is the only way. And I know that's hard for a lot of people to take. A lot of people say, Christians, you're closed-minded. How can that be possible? The goal is this. And I'm not here to argue. I'm not here to beat anybody up because that goes against what Jesus says. He simply says, present the gospel. You say what I told you to say, and I guarantee you it's going to impact somebody. Somebody out there listening right now.
Now, can I ask
Michael
ask a question?
No. I need to know. You said I distorted his words. Okay, go ahead, man. But sir, I did not distort your words, and you just contradicted yourself if you play this tape back. You just contradicted yourself.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead,
man. Can I explain myself? Because he's saying I'm saying something that I didn't.
Who cares?
No, you cannot explain yourself. We done with you, Michael. Go ahead, man.
I just want my question now. Well, with the Sabbath and the people on that's not keeping his day holy, what's going to happen?
Good question.
With the Sabbath day and they're not keeping it holy, because most people get confused about his Sabbath. He says keep it holy and then no man change
question.
It.
Hello?
You on?
Right.
Go ahead and ask your question.
Michael. No, you still on me. All right.
Oh, okay.
Just so I'm clear, you said what's going to happen with the Sabbath?
With the people
okay,
that are
not I understand because.
Holy. Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. here's what the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says the Sabbath is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and.
Seventh day. Mm-hmm.
Right, and people go to church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So what she basically asking is what's going to happen because no one is really observing the Sabbath on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
but using Sunday as the Sabbath.
It's their holy day. That's
right.
It, exactly.
Right.
That's it.
That's,
now,
so
if you notice, a lot of times the question is, the question really would be, what do we consider keeping it holy?
Mm-hmm.
When we say keep it holy, does that mean that you have to be in church to keep the day holy? Does it mean you have to be coming together for that hour a day or 2 hours or 3 hours?
It's on Sunrise Sunday.
Church I was in when I was young. All right. Say it again.
It's from sunrise to
sunset.
Sunset. That's when the Sabbath is
exactly.
Not in 2 or 3
and
hours.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, obviously, so that's the case, and that means nobody will be keeping any day holy, because I don't think there's anybody that goes to church from sunrise to sunset. Do you guys? Anybody
else?
No,
I'm saying the Sabbath. If you're keeping the Sabbath is his day. So in your soul and in your heart, if you're keeping it holy and you're not doing anything and you're keeping this day holy, but you have churches open and they say that that's the Sabbath, which is not. He wrote those words in his.
That's the day.
His
exactly. No. So which is
yeah.
So.
But when they change to the New Testament,
I'm sorry.
They change the Sabbath.
It's like you're cutting out of the, that's why I think I'm stepping on you.
That's what I'm saying. Man changed it when they changed it to Sunday because it was on Saturday. and man has changed it, so why are they following man's will
they were worse.
And not his?
Good point.
Now, the key is this. You can come together to worship the Lord on any day. There's no standard
on
what day you have to worship the Lord. There are some.
That's not what
remember,
I'm reading,
listen,
though.
But listen, now what you're quoting is the Old Testament. Is that right?
Yes.
What's
and it said let no man change.
Hello?
So if man is changing and somebody following it, they're not
you're,
keeping
exactly,
it.
And,
okay, can he explain it? Can he explain it?
So what I'm saying, just so I'm understanding, what you're saying by your standard, that we shouldn't worship on any other day except Saturday.
Nope.
Is that right?
I'm saying what he said
and was written in song. Let no man change it. If no man is supposed to not change it, why is it changed?
So what I'm saying is who changed it, though? When was it changed?
The chapter
saying, what I'm saying is you're saying that going to church is synonymous with keeping it holy. And what I'm telling you is that's not the case. Remember,
okay.
just because we're going to church on a Sunday doesn't mean that you're not keeping the Sabbath day holy. So you're saying by holy, that means you have to go to church from sun up to sundown. Is that what you're saying? Because the Jews
didn't
know
that.
You that.
No, I didn't say that.
So I just want to make sure it's clear that
See, a lot
exactly.
of people are not,
and
when they say the New Testament, that's I don't believe in the New Testament. I believe in the Old Testament because he did not change his Sabbath.
Okay.
And if man is the one that did it, I'm not following man is what I'm trying to say. And if you follow
so
not keeping the Sabbath
Saturday.
And follow man, you're not following him either. His
so
Saturday
saying,
is on Saturday.
Okay, and what I'm saying is, so what? How do you keep it holy? So that's my question to you. What
well,
does
some people
it holy
have,
mean?
Have Sabbath church on Saturday. They have church on Saturday. They don't do things on Saturday. They worship him in whole and in truth.
Uh-huh.
And some people do it on Sunday. The same thing people
and what
do on
I'm saying
Sunday,
is, for you, so if you're saying church is... So what I'm saying is church is keeping it holy. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, if they're doing it on Saturday,
church
the
is keeping the Sabbath
holy. But if they're doing it on Sunday, they're not.
But if the Sabbath, so what I mean is if the Sabbath, you're saying, is from sun up to sundown. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Can
so
I
if it's sun up to sundown and going to church is keeping it holy, that means no one is keeping the Sabbath because there's no one that goes to church when the sun rises and does not leave the building until the sun goes down.
I'm not
saying
the church. I'm saying the people that do go to church at the time.
What is keeping it holy mean? What keeping
the
Sabbath?
The people that go to church on Sunday.
Okay, wait a minute.
Like,
I got you. I see what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. What you're saying, but the one mistake. Go ahead, I'm sorry. No, the one mistake that you're making right there is saying that is thinking that going to church is keeping the Sabbath holy. An individual who says on that Saturday, they can say, remember, most Saturdays you see a lot of times what? Jobs are closed. Because America, again, despite what we see all around us, is still a country based on Christianity. A lot of times what you see, again, so it doesn't mean just going to church. If I get family together, if we come together, if I say in my heart, Lord God, I'm honoring you on this day, you're keeping that day holy.
No,
now, we can go back
said.
And forth on it, but again, this is
no,
like, it'd be almost like
can
a mind.
Can I explain to you what I'm saying?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Like,
hold on. Wait.
Like,
wait.
It's like, okay. I'm going to tell him some of the people that keep
go
it.
Go ahead,
Saturday.
No, please,
you have
go ahead.
You have Chick-fil-A. They're not open on Saturday because they're keeping the Sabbath. And you have the Seventh-day Adventist. They go to church on Saturday. They're keeping the Sabbath. You have the Muslims. They go to church on Saturday. They're keeping the Sabbath. You have the Jews.
No,
they go to church on Saturday.
Right,
they're keeping the Sabbath. But then when you find some other people that's not going to church, the Jehovah's Witness, they go to church on Saturday. They're keeping the Sabbath. So if he said keep his day holy,
okay.
It says day, not hour, his day. Keep it holy and let no man change it. Man has changed his day. So
and that's
what
I'm saying.
So, I'm not saying
see,
saying
just getting back to my original point, and again, I don't want to just go back and forth or around.
Uh-huh.
It's just the last thing I want to say real quick, get it in there. First, it was great talking to everybody before we go ahead and close it down. Okay, we're good.
That's
okay. But one thing I want to say is keeping the Sabbath is not just going to church. And a lot, I think that's what we're saying, because you're saying if the Sabbath is from sun up to sundown, it says to keep the day holy. And until we define
that
exactly
means the whole
what
day.
Keeping it holy means, because remember, keeping it holy is not just going to church. The Lord God says, I am holy, and holy means separate or set apart. That's what holy means. Holy means it's something that's set apart. That's holy.
Hollow.
So we're saying that that day is going to be separate and set apart for me. So it doesn't exactly hollow. That's another good point.
That's
so,
and
what
day.
You're saying is it doesn't
that's why it
have
is
to
hollow.
Be just going to church. There's more. Remember, there's more to keeping it. There's more to keeping the day holy than just go to church.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I mean, that's a great explanation.
And,
y'all, you know we've been through this before. And it goes, you know what? It goes back to what we've been talking, we were saying before on the show, y'all. It goes back to your free will.
It goes back to free will. If that's what you want to keep keep it holy on Saturday, mm-hmm. 24 hours, you do that. That's your free will to do that.
It's not 24
now,
hours.
The problem is with today's society, everybody can listen, Maze. Listen, Maze. Sun up to sundown, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, what I'm saying is, look, it's free will. Everybody's not able to do that, okay? Let's just put it that way. Everybody's not able to do that. Okay, hold
on
a minute. Listen. We're in overtime, okay? So, for those listening, you hear it not, okay? But
can I ask a question?
But here it is. Wait a minute. Okay, yes, Michelle. Just one moment. Let me finish what I was about to say. Then you can ask your question. Here it is. Real fast. You know, you have free will. Everybody is not able, even though there are some people that wish and want to keep it from sun up to sundown on Friday or Saturday. But sometimes, you know, the way society is, they got to work. It's just simple. So, you know, it's on the individual. You can make, and I said this before, you can take the time to make any day holy you want to make it. Yes, we know it says Saturday, but you still can take any time you want to and make that time your worship time. It's like it's a guideline, but just like we adjust to everything else, you can adjust this thing. So, you know, I think sometimes we get stuck on just the specifics. Or say, yeah, we stuck on that. But sometimes you just got to use common sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. Michelle, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I have a question.
Michelle?
Yes? Hello?
Go ahead, sweetie.
Yeah.
Yes,
I've got a question for the minister. Is that the title, minister, pastor? How do you – what's your view on – and on all the other religions in the world and the different faiths that people follow in terms of what the end is for them. How do you actually explain why there are so many different religions and what happens to those people when they die as opposed to a Christian? So for example, for me, when I was quite young, I went to I got introduced to Christianity, and I took Jesus into my heart. That was the thing. I became born again. I was very young. Since then, I've dropped all of that, and I don't follow Christianity anymore. So what happens to me, for example?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Am I still a Christian? Will I still be welcomed into heaven, or do I go to hell? What happens to me?
One thing is this, and now first I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Okay, I'm going to start with the Bible says. Play this simple. Bible says, "Believe." Good. I'm sorry. Were you saying something else?
No. I'm listening.
No. Okay. The Bible says, "Play plainly." It says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Christianity, basic tenet of Christianity, is to reject a belief in Jesus Christ. It's to turn your back on Jesus, and that's to open yourself up to the penalty of sin, which is hell. Now, with that being said, plain and simple, that's 100% what I believe. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you will not be saved, and saved is saved from hell. Now, I want to say this. No one knows the heart except Jesus Christ. No one can make a final decision on who will be in heaven and who will be in hell except Jesus Christ. All we can say is get your heart into a right place with God. But because I'm not able to look inside of you, that's why we say that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, is a righteous judge. That means he's able to look beyond my feeble understanding. Remember, there are a lot of people that act like they have their head fully wrapped around every area, all aspects of it, and that's not the case. Remember, I'm only able to look and see what I'm able to see. I'm able to read it from the Word of God, and I say that's exactly what I believe. God can look past, and he maybe didn't see something else. You said that you accepted Jesus Christ when you were young. Remember, he's looking at the heart, so who knows? Just like I can say this, there are a lot of people that I firmly believe will be in heaven, and I guarantee you when I get there, I will be surprised. There are a lot of people that I thought were going to hell, and guess what? I guarantee you they'll probably be the ones greet me when I get to heaven. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so what you're saying is that even if you are Muslim or you follow a different faith, that doesn't exclude you from heaven because it's up to
Jesus
Christ.
What I'm saying. Because this is the key to this. The very question I simply ask is, and I'm sorry, we're stepping on each other, but let me tell you, what I firmly believe is, what do you do with Jesus? A lot of times people try to say that, well, Islam is compatible with Christianity.
But we have to remember that Islam denies the very deity of Jesus Christ. And so as a Christian, the two are incompatible. A lot of times we always say, well, it's all the same God. But the key is we have to remember that if we believe that Jesus Christ, death on the cross, and again, remember, I'm a preacher, I'm a Christian preacher, so I got to say what I'm going to say. If you have a Muslim individual and a Muslim imam here, he's going to say what he's got to say. So I'm going to tell you what I believe. As a Christian, I believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, period. Now, a lot of people say that, well, I choose to follow Islam. I choose to follow Hinduism. I choose to follow other Eastern religions. The key is, the very question, as soon as you deny the deity of Jesus Christ as being the Son of God, whose sacrifice was able to save you and I, then Christianity becomes incompatible with the other religions.
And so let me ask you this, Minister. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
So does that mean that Gandhi
one second.
Going to hell?
No.
No. No.
What it means is, what it means
all,
is,
he goes to hell,
down. That's a very good question. And plain and simple, I've got to say, the question is this. Remember.
Wait a minute. Stop.
Let me say it like this. The very simple is this. Did Gandhi believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Can you answer that?
No, I don't think
the question is.
Jesus.
I don't know.
That has nothing to do with what
Jesus did. But the key is. But this is the key. This is the key. Remember, Christianity is very simple. This is a very simple thing. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was died and rose again for your sins? If Gandhi believed that, then Gandhi's going to be in heaven. If he did not believe that, then I firmly believe that Gandhi. I'm a Gandhi.
Let him finish, people. Jesus, I asked the question from
let
him. Not from everybody. Everybody in the peanut gallery.
I promise. And again, nobody's able to look at God.
Shut up, people.
Just like
can I tell you what I think?
Okay.
Man, they didn't finish answering the question. I want to hear it from him before you interrupt.
I got it, Joe. Joe. Okay, go ahead, Maze. I mean, go ahead.
Just one thing. Because we don't know exactly what Gandhi believed. We don't know what he believed. And my firm question of belief asked of everybody is, what do you do with Jesus? What do you do with Jesus? Is he the deity? Is he the Son of God who died and rose again for your sins? If he is, and you believe that, then guess what? Go to heaven. If you do not, I believe wholeheartedly that you will not make it in.
Okay, so in other words, then, if Gandhi actually rejected Jesus because he actually believed in Hinduism, and he said Jesus Christ either did not exist, or if he did exist, he was not the Son of Man, and for all the good works that he did for his people, he's going to hell.
Faith without works is dead.
But
so in other words, he's going to hell. All right, that's all I want to know.
But the key is, remember, we're operating on the assumption that he didn't believe it. And just like you don't know, I don't know. If he did, though, if he did not believe that, then I believe wholeheartedly that he's going to hell. The hard position.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
I want to ask you another question.
One second. Before we go there, let's make sure the previous question was answered all the way.
Question was answered. If he did not.
Just hold on one second. So that means, conversely, if you're a person who does believe that Jesus is the Savior, and yet all of your life you live a life that's you don't contribute to anything, you're quite bad, you know, you treat people really badly, you kill perhaps and all of that, you're still going to go to heaven simply because of that.
I'm sorry, we lost you for a minute.
Yeah, that one save always.